Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have yet another amazing show for you today. Our guests are interesting, our guests are informative. So, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go ahead and share this show. I want you to grab your notepad, grab your pen, grab your recorder. Make sure you take plenty of notes because I guarantee that we are going to learn something today. And while you're sharing, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. And our first guest is Paz Ellis, who is a writer, does poetry, short stories. It's so amazing. We're going to learn a little bit more about her and her story. Good morning, Paz. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing? Happy to be
Hi.
here.
I am wonderful. I'm happy to have you.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I'm a mom, a wife. I have been writing since I was a child. I have been an entrepreneur with my husband. We've been in business for several years. I've been in the travel industry, jewelry business. Worked as an interpreter for the courts for a long time, and but I've it's always been a constant that I've been a writer. And several years ago, 4 years ago, my mother passed away, and that's when I published my first book. And now I have the second edition of that book, which is called Plantains and the Seven Plagues, and it touches with about touches on topics such as family, love, culture. I grew up in a biracial, multicultural home, and deals with grief and with growing up in New Jersey and the things that come with that sort of family, being a child of immigrants. It's a happy story, but it's also is sad. Like I said, I wrote it after she passed away.
Now, what made you decide to actually write a book about it after she passed away?
I wasn't grieving properly. I was really angry. And I mean, even my kids noticed it. Well, my boys now are 18 and 20. At the time, they were 14, and my math is horrible, 16. And they were like, when is she going to stop crying? When is she going to smile? And I realized that I needed to do something. And what I did was I addressed my mother. I wrote to her, and then I decided that if I honored my parents, if I told their story, if I told my story, that maybe it would get me on the path to healing. And why not write? I always written. So I published it, and it was rough. But I mean, rough in the sense of it was a rough draft. I shouldn't have published it back then. Now, 4 years later, I've come out with a second edition, and I just feel like I'm in the right place now. I'm not grieving as bad, and I'm just living my life like she would have wanted me to.
But you said you did poetry ever since you were a child.
Yes, since I was really little. My uncle is a my only my mother's only surviving sibling. He's a published poet in Dominican Republic, and he introduced me to poetry in a real at a really young age, and my older sister did as well to American poets, and he introduced me to Spanish poets, and I just love poetry. And so I would write and journal and do stuff kids do, and that turned those journals were my life. I was a big recluse nerd, and I still am. And
I'm the same way. I'm a recluse. I'm a nerd. I completely understand. Now, when you were writing poetry and when you were doing poetry as a child, one of the things that we often discuss on the show is that we usually, in some form or fashion, kind of wind up doing whatever it was that we were doing as a child. I always said that I have a cousin of mine who I love. He's amazing. He's a reporter for NBC or CBS or some ABC somewhere in Columbus, Ohio. He's in his 40s, but when he was a child, 5 years old, 7 years old, he used to walk around the house with a spoon interviewing everyone. So we knew all his life that this is what he was going to do. And I talk about myself, I was that child that was constantly talking. I was always asking the question, why? 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 Why is this? Why is that? And I always wanted to learn. And now I'm a talk show host. So as a child, you wrote poetry, but later in life, you became an author. You mentioned that you shouldn't have written that book? Is it something that you're going to re-edit, that you're going to redo, or
Oh,
what?
yeah. Well, the first book, it wasn't edited properly. And so that's why now, 4 years later, I did get a really good editor and it's out there and it's doing pretty well. And it actually, within the next couple of days, it'll probably be in Spanish. I already had it translated, and then it'll hit the market and I'll launch probably within about a month in Spanish. But it wasn't that it was, I don't regret the book. It was that it was kind of a raw, just wanted to get it out there into the world. It was like part of my process, my healing process. And I felt that if I didn't get it out, I wasn't going to heal properly. The loss of my mother was really a big thing, and I know a lot of us go through that and will go through that if we haven't already. But it was unexpected, and I was not prepared for it. It kind of just threw me out there into the world, and I felt like I had been abandoned, and it was just kind of like a lot of horrible feelings. And I decided, one day I was thinking, because I had written her a letter saying how angry I was and upset with her, which is not fair, of course, because she didn't have that choice. She died. But and then the next day I started writing the book, and I felt that it started, the book kind of was like a culmination of who I am and how I've always been a writer, and those feelings and those things and the culture and the things that my mom taught me. That when I was younger, I would rebel and be like, oh, you're so fashion. Like, I want to be like everybody else. I want to be like my American friends. And so being able to put it out there and look at my life really helped set in motion my authorhood, in the sense that I've always been a writer, but I just never even considered publishing. My husband used to tell me all the time, why don't you publish? Why don't you write? And it took my mom dying for me to take the chance and do it. So.
I understand. We have some more questions for you, definitely. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, who I'm very sure is familiar with the grieving process, working with people, helping families. Reverend Terry Christian is founder of Foundations for Life Online Ministries. Good morning, Reverend Christian. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Thank you for joining us. I greatly appreciate you being here.
Well, I feel very blessed to be here, and I welcome you into what I call the upper room in my home. And I'm blessed to be able to counsel with Christians online worldwide without having to leave the paradise gardens God planted me in. And as a retired motivational speaker, where I had to travel all the time everywhere, I feel so blessed now. I don't have to go anywhere to be everywhere.
So let's go back to Paradise Gardens. Where exactly are you?
Well, I am in Negril, Jamaica. I came
Okay.
here 10 years ago this year, dying of bladder cancer, seeking a divine healing. And as a motivational speaker, I already knew that I could use my mind and the proper prayer and proper faith and restore and revitalize my body. But the bladder cancer was called the worst case they ever saw. They wanted to remove my bladder, which would change my life forevermore. I wasn't willing to go that far. I understood that I was carrying God's temple and I walked around. I needed to have a better relationship with my body. So I came down here where I could predict the 7 mile beach that is here. And I came down for 21 days and walked 100 miles up and down the 7 mile beach. And in that process, what I was doing was reflecting on everything in my life. And in doing that, I adhered to the what I call the biblical diet. Fruits, vegetables, herbs, grains, and then I added fish. At the end of the 21 days, I went back to see my doctor 3 weeks later, and they released me cancer-free. So that has transformed the quality of my life over the last 10 years, along with everything else I had to deal with in order to get here to be with you today from Paradise Gardens. It was no easy journey, as Job might say, if you ever read his story in the book of Job. So because I knew the book of Job, I knew that Job didn't know that God approved of his test. And I knew that my calling since I was 23 was so strong that this was my test. And when I embraced it as the test, I'm blessed to say I passed the test, or I wouldn't be here today with you, sharing from Negril Beach, Jamaica, where I help the locals and teach at the local school and work with the parents. And then I get to counsel Christians online worldwide where they live, so they could be strong where they live to help their neighbors. And that's the best way to do it. And the best way to do it is tell them what Jesus said to help them overcome what everybody else said.
I love your "with God, all things are possible" all the time. I love the "all the time." Just to be clear, it's all the time.
Absolutely. I learned here, because this is my home of the heart, and I love the Jamaican people, I've learned that it doesn't matter what country we live in. What matters most is how we live in that country. Mm-hmm. And with God, all things are possible all the time, wherever we live, at any given moment, when you pray believing. And the whole key to this is not knowing with God all things are possible. That's not the key. The key is believing in what it is that you're doing, so that it complements the fact that you know with God all things are possible. So there must be something we can do. And that's what I'm here to help people do, discover what they can do, so God doesn't have to do what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the 21 days.
Yes.
Where did you get this strategy or this plan from?
Well, in all of the last 50 years of recorded behavioral psychology or self-image psychology or understanding how the body heals and works itself, any 21-day a sabbatical of thought, focused conditioned thought, 21 days, creates a new habit pattern if you're staying consistent with your objective. That's why most detox centers are 30 days, because it encompasses the 21-day cycle that one needs. If your body gets injured or cut within 21 days, it really starts to heal itself. If you get a new haircut within 21 days, you always felt you looked this way. If you move to a new house for the first 21 days, you'll go to the old house without knowing it. So 21 days has been a rule of thumb to concentrate and focus on a change of one's thought process, our habits. So I came here for 21 days, and the first objective, it's called the life walk, as I wrote a blog on it, was to walk 1 year per, well, I mean, 1 mile per year of my life, and think about that. I came from a violently dysfunctional family. I dropped out of school at 16, stuttered till I was 23, couldn't say five words in a row, met the Lord, had my near-death experience, fully alive, read several hundred books, became a motivational speaker. So there's nothing in my earlier childhood that manifests itself right here with you today, except what did Jesus say? And so when I came down here, I wanted to walk. I was compelled to walk 1 mile per year of my life. And I reflected where I was and who impacted my life during that time. Mm-hmm. So the first 5 miles was, where was I between 1 and 5? And the next 5 miles, from 5 to 10. Now, when you get to 10, you start seeing the things that were impacting your entire life, where you live, how you live, what your parents was like. The next 5 miles, from 10 to 15, that really brought things into focus, that as a teenager, I started making decisions that affected my life. Mm-hmm. And I just kept that up. And then when I got between 10 and 20, I mean, 20 and 30 and 30 to 40, when I finally got to the 59 miles at 59 years old, I was not the same person. Mm-hmm. And along the way, I repented in my heart where necessary, apologized to the people where necessary, forgave myself where necessary, forgave others where necessary. And at the end of 59 miles, I was so detoxed from it all, I walked another 31 or 41 miles so I could look into my future until I was 100 years old.
That's
so today,
beautiful.
It is. So today, I'm 10 years later, I'm 68 years old. I feel 48. I walked my 3 miles this morning. I enjoy my vitality. I'm in Paradise Gardens in a beautiful place. I haven't found who I'm going to share it with yet, but I do know one thing for sure. God was right when he said, it's not right for man to be alone, even in Paradise Gardens.
Well, that is so beautiful. I'm going to have to come out there and visit you. Now, I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. I have definitely more questions for you, Reverend Christian. You brought up a whole array of questions for me, but I want to bring on our next guest, who I have known for years. I'm not actually even sure when the first time we met, but I do know that we've been corresponding, we've been talking for years. Our next guest is Andrew Shatkin. He is a business consultant, and he's also founder of the Shacking Show. Good morning, Andrew. Are you with me?
Yes, Sharifa. It's really good that you gave me some space here to get organized and to Zoom and stuff. So, you know, it's very nice, really. I thought it was anyway.
It is. I don't know. I don't remember when we met, Andrew, but I know we've been
emailing. Yeah, we've been working together a while. By the way, say hello to Paz. She was on my show the other day. Paz?
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see you. I listened very carefully to what you had to say.
I can't see you, but I hear you.
Okay.
Well, we got you here, and I have to get on your show. What does it take to get on your show, Andrew?
Yeah, why don't you on my show, Sharifa?
We got to work that out. We'll figure that out. But tell us a little bit about the Shacking Show.
Well, I'll tell you, Sharifa, as with the Reverend, I don't make any bones about this or apologize for it, but I am a Christian. And that means to me something very essential. The show is a Christian-oriented show. I also have a Blog Talk radio show. They're both Christian-oriented. They're international in their thrust. But to me, you have to understand that Christianity, that Jesus makes a claim about himself. He has made a claim, like it or not, object to it or dislike it, be annoyed about it or angry about it, but he says he's God. He did. He made this claim. And I'm sorry that if people don't like it or are annoyed about it, or that's too bad. That's what his claim is. Just recently, I was just reading Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8, in which he says to the paralytic, rise and walk, but he also says your sins are forgiven. So that is my position at this point in my life, following Christ through the gates of death to eternity. That is my view. I'm not changing it.
Well, you know, we're not here to get you to change your point, to justify your point, or to even...
No, I just want to make clear. I mean, because many, many people in our society today, Sharifa, and we have, it's a democratic society. People have a right to their views and opinions. That's fine. But if asked, I will tell them what I just said.
You are a business consultant. What do you do to help businesses?
Oh, I am a, I run two radio shows, as I said. I also do radio interviews, which I'm doing one today, actually, later this afternoon. And I'm a writer. Paz knows that. I know Paz is a writer, and I want to get her book. I really enjoy talking to you, Paz. I think it's great seeing you. I'm a writer, and I've written about 10 books. And three of the books have had Christian content. One is Essays on the Christian Worldview. Another is Essays on Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. Another is a book on the parables. And I regularly have posted all 41 of my interpretations of the parables on my website and social media. And also I'm doing the same with the sayings of Christ. Of course, as a Christian, the sayings of Christ are the sayings of God. So that's it. So we'll take it or leave it. So
we definitely
did you want to say something, Sharifa?
Yes, I didn't mean to cut you off because you were finishing that thought. But what I like to do at the beginning of the show is introduce all of the guests so that we, as a team and as a group, we can dig into more of the conversation. So I definitely want to introduce our next guest, Jonna Devereaux. And she is, because I wanted to bring in Jonna specifically because we started discussing nutrition and herbs and health. And even though that's our topic of discussion, what Jonna does is she works with pets. She's a pet nutritionist, herbalist, and she is the director of nutrition and wellness. Good morning, Jonna. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
You are so welcome. You look like a little ray of sunshine.
Well, I'll take that. Thank you.
No, just saying everything is kind of glowing. And so one of the things that I do or tend to do is kind of look around and see what is going on. And I kind of, you know, play the I spy with my little eye and I'm finding Waggy wafers. What are Waggy wafers?
They're actually one of the treats that Bow Wow Labs, the company that I work for, produces and offers as a great treat for dogs. It's a high value treat that's really nutritious and made in the USA.
Wow. So how did you get into being a pet nutritionist?
So it really started from a dog that I rescued, my boy Diego. I was volunteering at an animal shelter and had no desire nor time in my life to have a dog. I was really a cat person at that point. Mm-hmm. And while I was at the shelter one day, a pregnant female came in and about 2 weeks later, she gave birth and I met the puppies when they were 3 days old and fell in love with my boy Diego, who is an American Staffordshire pit bull mix, and basically was smitten. And the short story is that he literally changed my life. He had a lot of health issues. And no matter how many times I switched his diet or took him to the vet and tried a different pharmaceutical, nothing really ever seemed to help in the long term. And so as an herbalist, it kind of hit me one day that I'm looking out at nature to heal myself. How can I maybe take this and apply this to heal my dog? And so I started doing a lot of research and a lot of reading. And, you know, this was kind of pre-Google. Diego's 9 and a half now. So this was before there was a lot of information on the internet. And I started just diving into books and realizing how much nutrition impacts our lifestyle and our health and, you know, our well-being, and started applying that towards Diego, and then fell so deep into that rabbit hole that I realized I wanted to have more knowledge. And that's kind of what started me down that path. It was a 2-year course. So I really have Diego to thank for changing the trajectory of my life. You made an interesting point at the open of the show, and it was really near and dear to me, because I actually also read that study saying that most people are at their happiest with what they were doing when they were around the age of 7 to 9. Yes. And when I was in that age range, I had always wanted to be a veterinarian, but I was very scared and cautious and hesitant about the blood factor, right? Like that kind of didn't work for me. And I also had a hard time thinking how I would be able to put an animal to sleep. So I kind of veered away from that. And what ended up happening with my adoption of Diego was that I learned there was a different capacity that I could help animals. And so I really am so grateful for the path that was set in front of me and for being in the right place at the right time. Like, you know, it's how the universe works. So
absolutely. That's usually what happens. We find something that we're passionate about, find some way for us to be of service, and somehow that service winds up being a career or our calling in life. Tell us a little bit about this little blue doohickey right here.
So Bow Wow Labs started out, and I appreciate the opportunity, Sharifa. So Bow Wow Labs started out as a company that put forth a safety device, and this safety device is what they call the Bully Buddy. So for anyone that has dogs, they probably are familiar with bully sticks. Bully sticks are one of the most well-sold long-term chews for dogs. And the problem is that when they get down to that last 1 inch of the bully stick, it becomes a choking hazard. Your next guest, May, has 2 dogs, I heard. So I'm sure she's very familiar with bully sticks, and dogs love them so much that when they get to that last inch, they either swallow them and either regurgitate them, or it can be a cause for intestinal obstruction. So what this device does is actually allows you to put the bully stick inside the tool or the safety device, clamp down on it, and then I can't pull it out, your dogs can't pull it out, so they can safely enjoy a long-term chew, which has so many health benefits for dogs. So that's the Bully Buddy.
So they're different sizes.
Yep, there's 6 different sizes, because what's really important, and this goes not only to long-term chews, but for safety devices and toys, is that you buy the right size for your size dog. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. So we do have 6 sizes to cover, you know, 5-pound chihuahuas to 150-pound Great Danes.
Mm-hmm. Is there any type of consultation? Because I'm one of those people, and the people who know me know, like, I need help with everything. I need help with cooking, cleaning, everything. Like, I don't do much myself. So I would need somebody to say, Sharifa, this is the size that you need for your dog.
Yep, we have on our website, we actually have size guides, but we also have a phenomenal customer service department that literally, if you just say, what do I do? They will point you in the right direction and help set you up. We even have an easy ship program where once you find the size and once we've been able to direct you in that right size range, that you can actually sign up and they can deliver the bully sticks as monthly. So not only do you have the safety device, but you have a endless supply to make certain your dog is, you know, enjoying all of the benefits of long-term chews, which there are numerous benefits to it. Besides the peace and quiet that it brings to us humans, right?
Yeah, that's one of the most important things. Well, what are some of the other benefits?
Well, so it really does engage their natural instinct to chew. When dogs are chewing, it releases dopamine and serotonin, which are two neurotransmitters that support a healthy mental state. So it provides calmness. It also is really great for their oral health. It helps to create saliva, which has an enzyme called lysosome, which actually is like an antibacterial. It helps to get rid of bad bacteria. And it also helps to scrape the teeth. So if there's any type of biofilm, which is a result of bacteria, it does help to prevent that from turning into plaque. So, and like I said, it also brings peace and some time if we wanted to do a show or if we wanted to, you know, watch, do some binge watching on Netflix or something, it allows us as the owners to have a little bit of peace and quiet too.
Sometimes it's the little things. I definitely have more questions for you, but I definitely have to introduce my next guest who has been waiting so patiently. I want to hear her story, but one of the main reasons I wanted to have her on is I love babies. Like everything else, wonderful, but I'm a baby person. So I love discussing babies. And our next guest is May Novak, and she is from Yay Brand Luxury Swag. Good morning, May. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
So it's Yay Brand, and you specialize in luxury swag.
Well, so Yay Brand is a company that I created after getting my master's in social work. So I went to school to become a counselor, like a family therapist or an individual counselor. And when I was halfway through grad school, I decided that my desire to help people learn more about who they are and learn more how to love themselves, I didn't want to do it in that traditional counselor setting. And so Yay Brand really didn't come out of me thinking about, well, what else could I do? It actually came out of my my personal use of affirmations and just positive thinking and affirmations. And so I started putting positive affirmations on my coffee mug in the morning so I would just be reminded to see it as opposed to like a neon post-it note on my bathroom mirror.
So what did you say? I can read it.
This says, I intend to attract unlimited abundance into my life. So I started with that one. And then I had friends say, where did you get that coffee mug? I want one. And I was like, well, actually I had it made. And so it just kind of expanded from there. And it wasn't until probably a year after I started Yay Brand that I realized that I was even in the retail industry. Cause for me, it was just my way. It was like therapy on a mug or therapy on a journal or a shirt or something. But yeah, so I'm about 2.5 years into Yay Brand, and it's just been, it's been unexpected and fun. And I've never heard about the what you did between 7 and 9 is kind of what you ended up doing. I've never heard about that. But when I think about when I was little, I'm the middle child, and so I'm like the bridge and the people pleaser, and I just loved giving gifts and making people feel good. And I just loved it, which is now exactly what Yay Brand is. It's making people feel good and being positive.
Well, we need more positivity in the world. But Yay Brand is focused on super driven babies. Is that correct?
Not babies. Love babies too. No, just like babes, like chicks.
Oh, babes.
Like girls. Yeah, women.
Okay, because I'm like, yeah. Maybe I read it wrong, because I'm like, babies, we're going to talk about babies.
I love
especially
babies
with the
too.
Conversation, I'm like, we need some new life. That's okay. Well,
I have a four-year-old, so I've been in baby world for you know, almost 5 years. She's almost 5. And actually, she's a big part of why I'm doing what I'm doing, because, you know, when you become a parent, mm-hmm. that drive to like walk the walk mm-hmm. is so strong, or it was for me. If I hadn't been a parent, I don't know if I would have pushed myself to become an entrepreneur. It may have just been one of those unfulfilled dreams off in the distance, but she really, I wanted her to grow up seeing, oh, well, mom did what she said she was going to do.
No, so I get it. I completely understand. When I built my first website in 1994 was simply because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And that is what has been driving me for the last 26 years. My children are 23 and 26 now. So please hold on to that time, because they're only, it may seem like it's a long time, but they grow up so fast. But, you know, I do a lot of speaking engagements, and the number one question people ask is like, what drives you? And I'm like, because my kids keep asking for dinner. Like, that's the extent of it. Like, they want to eat.
Yeah, that's a big motivator. That's a big motivator. But yeah, so Yay Brand, we create custom candles with crystals in them, journals that are all handmade in Kansas, but they all have statements like mantras or positive affirmations on them.
Mm-hmm. Where do you come up with all the mantras and positive affirmations?
So I was listening to the Reverend speak about being a motivational speaker, and that is something that I have always wanted to do, and I'm starting to get into a little bit more speaking engagements. But it's just, it's a natural for me to think about, it's very easy for me to cut to the core of something and like cut to the truth, like get rid of all the fluff. Okay, what is the statement? What is the thing that will help? And so it's coming up with the affirmations is really easy for me, because they're all about, people all want the same thing. Mm-hmm. They want love, clarity. They want to be able to connect with other people. So when you really just break it down to what every human being, what their wants and needs are, coming up with the affirmations is actually pretty easy.
Mm. You know, but it's interesting. I would agree with you to a certain extent. And the only reason I'm going to say to a certain extent is, sometimes when we have a gift and a talent, we kind of look at it like, oh, everybody can do it. And yeah. I think that it may come easy for you. And I think that's wonderful, and a talent, and that you use it as a gift, because I can hardly ever think of any kind of positive sayings or mantras or anything. Like, I'll Google something real quick and be like, okay, you know, this person said this. One of my favorite quotes is Edmund Burke: all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. You know, so mm-hmm. I can take these quotes and I can put them out there, but for me to actually create that, I don't think that's going to happen. So I just want to,
I think you're absolutely right. It's those things where that they seem easy to you, that you're just like, yes. Oh, this is no big deal, that to someone else is like, wow, how did you do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have more questions, but I want to go back over to Reverend Christian for a moment. And Reverend Christian, I have a question for you. So let's focus on me. We don't want to laugh or go into a different direction. But my question for you is, when you discuss healing, you discuss the 21 days and the years that you walked, but you also had the health aspect. So you were able to cure the cancer in 21 days?
Well, let's just look at it from what I've learned in the experience.
Okay.
Number one, in order to really stimulate your spirit, in order to impact your mind that affects your body, it has a lot to do with what you believe in. Mm-hmm. So I knew in my walk with Jesus, and from producing the book, What Did Jesus Say?, which contains only his words that he said to those who loved and followed him, I was very familiar with what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. Now I wanted to know, what did Jesus say about this specific subject? Not what everybody else had to say about it. I wanted to know, what did Jesus have to say about it? Mm-hmm. So when I came down on the sabbatical to concentrate and focus to make sure that I would be able to do all the things I needed to do without distraction, when you get away to be with God, you have to remember God has now got you with him. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I read everything Jesus said in the four gospels pertaining to healing, mm-hmm. who he healed, who went after him to be healed, what did he say to them in their healing process. And I discovered there was a moment where Jesus couldn't heal everybody. And when I was led to that in the Gospel of Mark, it revealed why he couldn't heal everyone there. And that was the major key, in my opinion, why many Christians do not receive and have a healing, is because of that one story in in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus said, without the faith, you will not be healed. They lack the faith. Now, faith is a mysterious word to most people. They're afraid of the word faith. It might qualify they don't have the faith. Well, faith is such a perspective to the individual that how we walk, talk, dress, look, and feel is a reflection of our faith. So when you get away on purpose with the purpose I found, and to find out what Jesus said, and you're thinking, well, I already knew that the biblical diet, I already knew fruits and vegetables and herbs and grains was what we all needed to function better in our body. I already knew that from earlier books I read. We can debate eating meat. We can debate Jesus said it doesn't matter what you eat, what comes out of your heart matters. He didn't say go eat everything. He just said it doesn't matter what you eat. But what comes out of your mind and heart is very magnified, and what you eat can help enhance it. So I knew the biblical diet had substance. Mm-hmm. So fruits, vegetables, herbs, and grains, and then the consciousness of knowing to seek God in prayer for healing. Well, sometimes we have to expect the miracle. Other times we have to accept it. And in my case, I accepted it. I knew it would change my cellular structure. But I also knew what my bladder looked like when it was in God's hands and it was fresh and new. And I had a video and pictures of what my bladder looked like filled with cancer. So I could very easily identify in faith that God wants his children whole and healthy. And I just embraced it and accepted it in the process of fasting too. I'm not afraid of fasting. Most are afraid of that. When I was 46 years old, I was called away to fast for 46 days. I fasted for 46 days on juice and water and Starbucks decaf coffee. And I walked and thought, and it was a beautiful experience I ever imagined. It impacted the rest of my life. So 13 years later, when I was confronted with this test, fasting was an easy thing to do because I knew what would happen. And that's what brought it about. And that's where healing comes about itself. I did a video called Why Do Some Christians Receive Healings and Others Don't? Well, that's a mystery of the mind for sure.
We definitely have to look into that, because I'm going to look into that video. I'm going to do more research on your website, because some of the things that you point out are definitely interesting to me. But they also, I want to go back to May real quick for a minute. You discussed faith, Reverend Christian, but that's in regards to health and healing. But May, you stepped out in faith to start your own business and to make this into a business that would be able to help your children, to your child, and to help your family. What did that feel like for you?
Well, when I first, terrifying, because I had just spent 3 years getting this fancy master's from a really great school, and it was, you know, graduate school's expensive. And so at the end of it, when I was like, oh, I'm not going to do what traditional social workers do, I was like really just kind of terrified by it and embarrassed. I mean, I really did just feel like this, it was like the secret that I wanted to become an entrepreneur and put positive affirmations to help people change their thoughts, thus change their minds. So what I did was this, I kind of started working on it secretly. And then after about 6 or 7 months, when I just really got that feeling of like, just that calling of that nudge, where if you don't do it, you know, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. And so I told two of my friends and kind of let them in on what I was thinking about doing, and they just loved it. And so that gave me the courage to kind of go a little further and a little further. But I will say that once I made the decision, this is what was I was going to do, it has just exploded from there. And so it was that deciding, that belief that this is what I was meant to do, and I'm going to 100% jump into this, then it's just taken off like wildfire. So it is, it's that belief in yourself.
Yes, and what you're here to do. I want to go over to Jonna real quick. Jonna, my question for you is basically along the line of belief and faith. And as a herbalist, and we're talking nutrition and health and healing for our pets, are there any recommendations that you can make as far as, you know, how to have a healthy pet? Like, is it okay to just go to the drugstore and pick up what they have on the shelves? Is there a specific, not necessarily brand, but what do you recommend for pets?
Well, I mean, I think at the most basic level, we have to be aware of everything that goes into our bodies and everything that goes into our pets' bodies, because at the end of the day, everything that goes into our body is going to either positively or negatively impact their health or our health. So there is a lot of parallels between humans and canines, and I mean, pets in general. We actually extrapolate a lot of information from humans and project them onto our dogs. But with dogs specifically, you know, I am a big fan of feeding the way their bodies are designed anatomically to eat. Mm-hmm. So when we, you know, it's only been in the last few decades that we've actually started feeding dogs from grocery stores and bags. It's, you know, before it was, they would be getting scraps from what we fed. And I'm not saying it's not the conversation or debate to have right now, but really, you know, whole fresh food is the best thing that you can feed to your dogs, the least minimally processed as possible. And really just being conscious and aware that everything that goes in their body is going to impact them. That's whether it be food, whether it be treats, whether it be even the water that they drink, if they're drinking municipal water, if they're drinking spring water, if they're getting lots of vaccines to a point of over vaccination, chemicals that their bodies are absorbing through the environment. It's all things that are going to impact their longevity and their vitality. So, you know, for me, I don't have children. I have my two fur kids who bring me so much joy, and they are, you know, part of my family. They're my family. And they give me the gifts of having to walk every day and be outside and be in the present moment and, you know, enjoy nature. I've had so much success working with herbs and canines and felines, because that's specifically where I'm trained, is for dogs and cats in the world of pets. You know, the body heals itself. All we can do is provide the tools, whether the tools be, as you know, the Reverend mentioned, which is through faith and belief in God, whether it's through food, whether it's through herbs, whatever it may be that is in your toolbox. We can only provide those tools for the body to then heal itself. And you have to be willing to believe that it's going to work, if that makes sense, right? Like, at some point in time, you have to jump off of that diving board, have it be the catalyst. And then you just have to have 100% support that you will land where you're supposed to. Mm.
It was also what the Reverend was saying, because it wasn't just his faith and his belief, because he took the actions. He started eating the fruits and the vegetables and walking, right. And you know, so I can see that with pets as well. On that same note, I want to go over to Paz. We're talking a little bit about faith and believing. And one of the things that you did, Paz, is you stepped out there with a book. Now you have several books. What was that like for you? Did that take a lot of faith and belief in yourself and your mission and your calling?
excuse me. Something she said about, you know, jumping off. I wrote a blog recently on my website called Make Life Is Your Springboard. Mm-hmm. And when my mother passed away, it was a springboard. I took something negative, horrific, because I can't think of, besides losing a child, losing your mother, that was horrible. So my mother was a woman of faith, great faith. And I do have faith. And I have several autoimmune illnesses. And one of my boys, my oldest son, he's at that point where he questions about, you know, the Bible a lot. He goes through it and highlights it and says, this is not possible. God, if God, you know, your God, the God that you have so much faith in, wouldn't do these or say these things, like in Exodus. That's one of the examples he gave me. And I always tell him, I have faith because I believe that there is something inside of me that knows that there's something greater than I am. And when my mother passed away and I finally I finally owned it. Okay, she's gone. Now, what would she want me to do? curl up in a ball and die, or continue, do something productive? Can I help someone else with what I just went through? I forgot her name, our guest with the inspirational quotes on her
name.
With May, I can so relate to her because I feel like I have all these words in my head and all these ideas and the experience of losing my mom and losing my dad and having been ill and close to death so many times, like such as the Reverend, that I feel that why shouldn't I publish books this one book in particular and help people who have dealt with certain life experiences, in particular in my case at the time, was grieving. And so I think it's really important to hold on tight to those things that my mother, not just traditionally because of her culture, but she instilled in me because of her great faith. And I felt that I owed it to her and I owe it to myself and I owe it to my children so that they can say, when I'm gone, there will be nothing left of me, but maybe a book and the memories and the things that I taught them. Because in the end, and I've said this many times, if you ever saw me speaking to anyone else, we just have love. We leave memories. We leave nothing else of value. Our value is what we can provide to our fellow human being, to our brothers and sisters, to your neighbor. Can you make someone smile? Can you anything, pay it forward somehow? And that is where my faith comes from. And that is how I hope to contribute. Sure, I want to be a successful author, but what really matters to me is that someone gets the message. When someone emails me, goes out of their way, and they find out my email address, and they're like, I just finished your book. My mother passed away 3 weeks ago. If it hadn't been for your book, and yada, yada, she tells me her story, and I cry, and I write back, and I'm so happy that she got it. She understood my message. And that, to me, that's the faith that I have in my word, and my word comes from my heart, and it originated from my mother and my father and their teaching, and my belief in God. I wouldn't be sitting here, I'm just sitting right now in a chair, but I would be in a wheelchair right now if 23 years ago, I had listened to a doctor and that said, you'll never walk again. So yes, faith and putting yourself out there, whether it be feeding yourself good food, thinking positive, you know, taking a walk, communicating with yourself, with God. If you don't do those things, you don't get to get off that spring gym, you know, like jump off and
do. You know, and I think what's important is that we are all just energy beings, right? As humans, our animals, everyone, nature, the plants around us. And we really just have to be very conscious and aware of that what we're putting out is what we get back. So, you know, when you're sending out love, you get it back. And when when you have faith or believe, it doesn't matter which God or what you call him or her. It's that you believe in something, right? That's what matters the most, that you have a connection with fellow, you know, your fellow humans, with, you know, the energy on a larger scale. But yeah, if we can somehow just through our energy, have positive energy and support that out to other people in the world, then we're doing our part. Right? Whether it be for dogs, cats, you know, humans, whatever it might be, I feel like we all feed off of each other, and the energy of the universe is something that we just need to have it be more positive. So
I agree. I think that we have, I mean, the simplest thing is just what, let's say I'm walking down the street and you're walking in the other direction and I smile at you and you smile back. Like, I love that. That is positive energy. And I am not a religious person. I'm not a biblical person. I believe in God in my own way. But my biggest thing is, as you're saying, is to have faith and to put out that spirit.
And to believe in yourself.
Yes, and that's the hard one. That was the hard one in the beginning.
Well, but if the Reverend didn't believe in himself, he wouldn't have been able to take the steps and the initiative and to heal his body, right? And to have his faith to help him heal his body. We all use different tools.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to allow Andrew to discuss faith and belief.
Yes, thanks, Sharifa. Obviously, everybody has their views. I'm not a person who is prepared to accept the politically correct statement that all religions are valid. I don't think they are particularly, but that's okay. I'm not going along with that kind of political media-driven thinking personally. I hope I'm not being offensive, but that's it.
No, it's your opinion and you're entitled to it.
Okay, and so I have to say this. Jesus has to be seen as an extremely difficult and challenging person for people to grasp and understand. For example, his followers were sinners, not merely moral sinners, but ritual law sinners. It was said of him, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? They didn't like it. They didn't like the people he was associating with. They said, who is this man? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, this is the challenge that he makes to people to understand the truth about him and what he says. I believe, for me, he's the ultimate guide to truth. That's my opinion. It could be said to be an opinion, but it's the opinion of over a billion people. And I have to say this, that Christians are regularly, for the first 400 years, they were grossly persecuted in the Roman Empire and tortured and executed and their bones broken. And even today in the Middle East, there's a virtual Christian genocide in the Sudan and Nigeria where Christians are being beheaded and attacked and tortured regularly and jail and pastors are jailed in China and churches torn down. People only do that to people when what they say bothers them. When the, yes, the Christian faith, I'm telling you, Sharifa, I know this and it's true.
No, I hear you. People are being killed all over the world. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to speak directly to everyone who is watching live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and just let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance, from your interview. There's so many. One of the things, I'm going to go on a soapbox for a minute. I don't always do this, but I'm going to do this right now. One of the things that I always talk about on the show is that I enjoy the show. And one of the things that I really enjoy about the show is that I have a diverse group of people. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to have five guests instead of just doing one-on-one interviews, is because we have an opportunity to see everyone's views, to see everyone's beliefs, and to hear what they think and what they believe without judging them or judging what, you know, how they feel. And so I just want this to be a safe place for people to just share who they are, because the reason I started all of this to begin with is that I knew that there were people and that there were stories behind the businesses. None of my guests are just the business, just entrepreneurs or just business owners or employees, or this is their career path. It's something in them that's driving them. Some people may call that God. Some people may call it spirit. Some people may call it the universe. Some people may call it whatever it is that they call it, but it's something in us that brings us all together. And there's something in us that is more common in all of us than it is different. So I like to focus on those commonalities. And that's what I'm gonna say on that, because people are being killed all over the world. Muslims are being killed, Jews are being killed, Christians are being killed. People, there's too much killing going on in the world. There's too much dying. There's too much death. And what I believe is that, and from someone who was raised Muslim, went to non-denominational, and just got to the point where I said, I know that there is a God. I know that there is something bigger than me. I know that there is a supreme being. That I know to be true. But I do believe that people call it by different names and what their understanding of that being is. So I don't ever want the show to be too political, nor I want the show to be too religious, because that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to share the stories and the beliefs of the people who sit down at the table, at the round table, and be authentic and be vulnerable and share who they are. So with that said, we're going to go out. We're going to speak directly to the audience. Jonna, please start.
So just thank you all for listening to us. And if I can say one thing, if you have dogs and cats, but specifically dogs, take care of them. They are the best gift you get. It's unconditional love. They bring endless amounts of joy. And so one of the best ways that you can give that gift a bit return is to feed them well, take good care of them, and make certain that they are safe and happy. And to visit us at bowwowlabs.com. It's bowwowlabs.com. And there's, I write a weekly wellness and nutrition blog that you can find on our website as well. So it goes from everywhere from nutrition to training to introducing dogs and kids. So please visit us. And thank you again, Sharifa. It's been a great pleasure. And I really appreciate you having me.
You are so welcome. It's been my pleasure. And it's been a pleasure to learn more about Waggy Wafers, about Bow Wow Labs, about you, who you are, and what you do. We're going to go over to Pass.
Thank you all. I'm glad to have met you all. I'm going to be looking you up all online and liking your pages, looking at your product. And I would just like to say thank you, Sharifa, for having me on the show. I am promoting my book, Plantains and the Seven Plagues, Half Dominican, Half Cuban, and Full Life. It's available on Amazon and pretty much everywhere across the world in English right now. My message in my book is about family and love and understanding and never losing sight of who you are, because my mother went through a lot of things in her life, but eventually she died. And we all go to the same place. So while we're here, we need to make the best of it. We need to love the people we love. We need to embrace authenticity and be as kind and as understanding as possible to those around us, because we're not all the same, but we are the same. We go to the same place and we came from the same place. So that's my message. And I just want to say thank you. And I would love to be back sometime.
You are welcome. Feel free to come back. Go to the website at asksharifa.com and select be a guest. Grab your seat, because we love having these conversations with interesting people. So we're going to go over to May.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on. This was so fun. And I learned a lot from everybody else. And I really liked that whole what you did at 7 to 9 is what you do when you grow up thing. That's really cool. You can check out Yay Brand products at yaybrand.com, YAYBRAND, yaybrand.com. And we have everything from crystal candles to hand letterpress journals to apparel, mantra mugs. We have a line of essential oil rollers coming out with affirmations on them. So Yay Brand products are really just a way that you can have a little bit of positivity and inspiration and self-love with you, on you, throughout your day.
I love it. And your focus, though, is on driven babes.
Well, people that are into motivation and inspiration and motivation are just, I find, just super driven people. And so I just said super driven babes, super driven women. People
that I have to grab a shirt then. I have to grab a shirt, a mug or something, because a lot of people consider me super driven. And I might have to find a present. I'm looking for something for Arden. Find me something for Arden. I want to send her something really nice.
Oh, okay.
All right, Reverend Christian.
Okay, well, I want to say thank you for allowing me on this show. It's been enlightening, to say the least. I want to make sure that everyone in your audience knows that God didn't start this virus. Man did. Man's inhumanity to himself. But God has an unusual way of helping us get the most out of ourselves during the tribulations we're going through. So seek God in your wisdom. We can examine ourselves during the virus and find out, do we live in fear or do we live in faith? And what is our faith about? Most people's fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real, or it's false emotion appearing real. And for many people, it's false education appearing real. So don't give in to fear. We can always pray and fast. It strengthens our immune system, calms our mind down, and gets us more sensitive to God's work. And we can always help one another. beginning with our home and our neighborhood. So I want to thank you for allowing me to be here. I want to offer all of your audience a free ebook called What Did Jesus Say? So if you go to my book site, whatdidjesussay.org, and go to the e-package and just type in the free code called God Bless You, all one word, and you can download the ebook in Kindle form, EPUB, audio book, and enjoy 500 scriptures from Jesus spoken only to those who loved and followed him. And I've added no opinions and comments myself. And I apologize for all the religious comments that drive people away from the purity of what Jesus actually said in red. But thank you again for having me. I'm always available to counsel. That's what I do through my ministry, foundationsforlife.org. I'm always here to help. Once again, from my upper room in Negril, Jamaica, I say, wherever you are hearing this, God loves you and so do I. Thank you very much for having me.
That is so interesting that you say that, Reverend Christian, because two things, we're going a little bit over, so I apologize, but two things happened to me this week. First of all, I became an ordained minister in 2004 because I wanted to just help people and talk. So last Sunday, I actually preached behind the pulpit for the first time. But yesterday on my social media, on all my social media, I made a post that said, I love you and God loves you. Just so you know, I love you and God loves you. So yes, that's what I believe, that we are definitely, definitely loved. We're going over a little bit time. I just want to thank all of you for being my guest today on the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in live to watch the show, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support, your input, your comments. If you know anyone who's a good fit for the Roundtable Talk Show, please send them to my website at asharifa.com.